Business today moves faster than ever. If you are slow to adapt, then you will get left behind. If you're still running on QuickBooks, that's you. It's time to hit the gas and accelerate with NetSuite. Let NetSuite show you how they'll benefit your business with a free product tour at netsuite.com/wallstreet.
Here's your money briefing for Wednesday, April 28th. I'm J.R. Wayland for the Wall Street Journal. It's Investment Week. Together with the Wall Street Journal's finance team, we're breaking down the benefits and risks of different assets and explaining how they fit into a diverse portfolio. Yesterday, we talked about how adding bonds to your portfolio can be a way of balancing the risks posed by stocks. Another way to manage your risk is to invest in a whole bunch of stocks and bonds at once through a mutual fund.
It offers you hope. It offers you the potential to do better than average. In other cases, it could offer you the possibility of sidestepping a very bad period in the market.
Today in our Investment Week series, our intelligent investor columnist Jason Zweig will take us through the basics of mutual funds. That's after the break.
UKG. When your employees feel supported, your business becomes more than a place of work. It becomes a work of art. And UKG's HR and workforce management solutions can help you create your masterpiece. UKG. Our purpose is people.
So you want to get into the stock market. You can invest in individual companies, but their stock prices can rise and fall in the blink of an eye. So how about investing in a bundle of companies to spread out the risk? Jason Zweig writes the Intelligent Investor column for the Wall Street Journal. Jason, thanks for taking the time to chat.
Good to be with you, JR.
So Jason, we hear from all kinds of people making fast money with all these hot tech stocks like Tesla or cryptocurrencies, you know, things that generate fear of missing out. Mutual funds don't get a lot of headlines, and yet they're an incredibly common investment. Why is that?
Mutual funds still remain the best way to invest in your 401k or other retirement plan that might be sponsored by your employer. They're very convenient. They're generally reasonably cheap. It's a quick, easy way to get diversification across lots of assets. And for technical reasons, other alternatives like ETFs are rarely available in 401ks and other retirement plans, while mutual funds are almost universally.
So just briefly, what is a mutual fund exactly?
Well, you could just think of a mutual fund as a bundle or a basket or a supermarket shopping cart full of lots of items. And if it's a U.S. stock mutual fund, it will hold dozens, sometimes hundreds, maybe even thousands of U.S. stocks. If it's an international stock fund, it'll hold, you know, a very large number of stocks from other countries around the world. If it's a bond fund, it will hold lots of loans issued by corporations or governments. And it could also invest in other assets like commodities, corn, gold, you know, oil. It could invest in currencies. It could invest in really any other kind of asset that is traded someplace in the world.
All right. So why do these mutual funds exist? What's the purpose that they're providing for someone's portfolio?
The historical justification for mutual funds is that in the 1920s, really, when they developed, they were a cheaper, more convenient way to get diversified. It used to be very, very expensive in terms both of brokerage commissions and other costs for individual investors to put together a portfolio of many different stocks or bonds, for that matter. And mutual funds did it quite cheaply and conveniently. Now, in today's world, other options like ETFs are often cheaper. And it depends what kind of mutual fund you're buying. If you're buying an index fund that simply tracks a market average, like, say, the S&P 500, you can find index mutual funds that are very, very cheap. If you're buying so-called actively managed funds run by stock pickers who are trying to do better than the market, mutual funds can be a lot more expensive than a comparable ETF. And at that point, you really have to be a price shopper. You have to ask yourself whether the skill or outperformance you're hoping to get with this manager can possibly be worth the extra cost.
Now, you mentioned ETFs, exchange-traded funds. We talked about those earlier in the week, but from an investor's perspective, how are mutual funds different from ETFs?
The most important is that a mutual fund is priced only once a day after the end of the trading day, typically in New York. And that means that if you happen to buy or sell the mutual fund earlier in the day, it doesn't matter what time you put that trading order in, there's only one price on that day for that mutual fund, and that's the one that is set after the end of the trading day. An ETF, however, trades continuously throughout the market day, and if you buy on 1:23 p.m. on a given Tuesday, you'll get the 1:23 p.m. price, not the price after 4 p.m. when the market closes.
Okay, but we often see the market change wildly between 1:23 p.m. and 4 o'clock on any given day. So why would you want to put yourself at risk like that and not know what the price is that you're getting on a mutual fund?
First of all, you might not have a choice. You might be investing through a 401k or other retirement plan that gives you only mutual funds as the option. Second, if you're investing over a time horizon longer than this afternoon or today, it might not matter to you what the momentary fluctuations in price are. I mean, certainly, if you were to look back 10 years ago from today, you would have no idea what a particular fund traded at on some particular morning or afternoon, or how much of a difference there was over the course of a few minutes trading. And for long-term investors, those short-term fluctuations tend not to matter over time.
Okay, let's talk more about those active and passive funds. What do they offer to me as an investor?
Well, so an active fund, which is typically run by a stock picker, a portfolio manager, or a team of managers, offers you something that can be quite valuable. It offers you hope. It offers you the potential to do better than average. In other cases, it could offer you the possibility of sidestepping a very bad period in the market, like, for example, what we saw in early 2000 when, you know, stocks lost a third of their value in a few weeks. There are active managers who claim to be able to avoid those kinds of losses. Now, I would immediately add that the historical evidence that managers can either beat the market on the upside or avoid the worst of the losses on the downside is not very persuasive. On average, about three quarters of the funds that have either of those as their objective fail to achieve it.
And what about passive funds?
Passive, on the other hand, basically an index fund that buys all the securities in a particular market average, offers predictability. When stocks are up 10%, you know you're going to get about 10%. If they're up 50%, you'll get about 50%. If they go down 30% or 50%, you'll get that too. You never have to worry that you will severely underperform the market average that the index fund is investing in for you. The flip side is, just as you don't have to worry about underperforming, you surrender all possibility of outperforming. And that's the trade that you make if you move from an active fund to a passive one.
Now, mutual funds, they're often ranked by financial companies. What are those rankings all about, and how do they work? What do they mean for an investor?
So probably the best known mutual fund rating service is Morningstar, which is an investment firm based in Chicago. And those ratings are built on principle of risk-adjusted performance. So they're giving the best ratings to the funds that have the highest return in proportion to the amount of risk they took relative to a safe alternative like, say, a short-term treasury bill or cash. And the more the fund tends to fluctuate over time, the lower the star rating it will have. And those ratings go from 1 star at the bottom to 5 stars at the top. The most important thing to realize about these fund ratings is that they don't seem to have a lot of predictive power. They have some, particularly funds with low, very low ratings, like a 1 star and sometimes a 2 star fund, will tend to stay that way. But the 5 star funds, which should be the best, seem to have a hard time hanging on to the top rating. So I think it's a good idea to avoid the really low-rated funds, but it isn't clear that it's a good idea to buy the highest-rated ones.
So maybe not buy into the hype all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so for an investor who's interested in mutual funds and maybe adding them to their portfolio or beginning a portfolio with a mutual fund, how would they go about choosing one to invest in?
So you can buy a mutual fund the same way you can invest in any other financial asset. You could go to the website of the mutual fund company itself. You know, it might be a firm like Fidelity or Vanguard or Schwab or T. Rowe Price. You can also find a mutual fund on any brokerage platform, whether it's online or through an app on your phone. Now, not all brokerage firms sell mutual funds. Robinhood, for example, does not yet offer mutual funds, although it does offer ETFs. It does take a little bit of checking around, but typically any brokerage firm where you could buy a stock or an ETF, you should also be able to buy a mutual fund. And in your 401k or other retirement plan, it's likely to be the default option, the thing that is presented to you as your first choice.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal intelligent investor columnist Jason Zweig. Jason, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, JR.
And our guide for new investors continues tomorrow. We'll be taking a look at an investment that could add some glitter to your portfolio, gold.
There are a ton of reasons people invest in gold, and gold, I would say, is one of the most contentious mainstream financial assets.
So why all the fuss? Does gold live up to its promises? We'll get into it tomorrow on Your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.